Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Salin, and that was my son, Arnie Salin, singing. I am proud to announce that we just learned that my son got accepted to the one college he applied to, Berklee College of Music, and he will be attending Berklee College in the fall of 2012. I will be broke, but I'm still very proud. If you have any comments or questions, you can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L.com. That's S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who is our guest. 14 rap. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California, going on 7 years, and he's also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. I should say he's almost done with his doctoral work. Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and are expecting baby Drew in 2 short months. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Great to be back. Boy, congratulations on him getting into Berklee. That's fantastic.
Isn't that an incredible? It's a heck of a story, too, which I'll share in more detail with listeners and you, but talk about taking a risk, applying to only one school with the very poor grades he had, but putting it all on the line in his audition and the videos he prepared for it is really pretty darn cool.
Boy, and they've got a great, great list of alumni that have come out of that school. I mean, just
Dream Theater,
yeah.
John Mayer, it goes on and on and on. He did his audition in Boston, and we visited, and for a very poised 18-year-old, he was like a kid in a candy store. He was so excited and so eager to get in after he saw it all. And I, as his father, I just envied the journey that I hoped he would go on if he got accepted. And now that he is, it's, again, other than going broke in the process, because the cost of it is just insane, I am going to vicariously enjoy his journey for sure.
How exciting.
So bring us up to speed for our usual, we need theme music this, actually.
Uh-huh.
We need theme music for the Baby Drew update.
Boy, that'd be fun. You know,
okay, next week, come on. Baby It's You or something like that. Okay,
there you
we're
go.
We're gonna find one.
There you go.
Richard and I are going to think of some good theme music.
Fantastic. You know, and I even went to the 3D ultrasound.
Right, you told us about
and
that.
I think I can't remember if I told you the
no,
only.
You told you that the baby was in the wrong position. You couldn't see anything.
Yeah, so they ended up giving us a free.
Right. And that we haven't heard
about. Time I okay. went back. The only time they had available, though, of course, was kickoff time for Super Bowl.
Oh God!
So
well, you made the right choice and you skipped it, right?
Yeah. So of course, you know, wanted to choose the baby over the game.
God, what a classic dad dilemma. You're
right.
Facing it even before your baby's born.
Well, now that we can record TV shows and watch them later, makes it a lot easier. Not as tough as it was maybe 30 years ago. And so, boy, it was a moving experience.
Tell us.
Seeing my son's face for the first time, so he was in the right position, and we're just overwhelmed.
Normally, I would make a crack about hopefully that the boy looks like your mom, but you're such a darn good-looking dude that I'm sure the baby looks good, whoever he takes after.
Well, and it's so funny because my mom brought photos of me as a baby. My wife brought photos of her as a baby, and it really, it is our child, you know?
Wow.
My
oh,
lips,
cool.
my wife's, oh, cool. no, it's just really neat. We're so excited. So here we are, about 2 months away, getting close.
It goes by so fast when it's not you.
It's so true.
It feels like it was just yesterday you announced it. I'm sure it's been a very long and exciting journey for you, but it just feels like a blink of an eye to me.
Yeah, and last night I was wandering the halls of a gigantic baby megastore with my wife and her sister registering for about 2 hours, things I've never even seen before. It was like I was on a foreign planet.
Yeah, are you going to get a super stroller?
Yeah, we did. We actually, I got a used one.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's in great condition, and the tires are bigger than my car's tires, which is... The stuff these days is amazing.
Oh, that's very funny.
Feels like
does it have Wi-Fi?
No Wi-Fi. That'd be great. A little hotspot built in.
Because, I mean, you know, you're not going to believe this, but there are 10, 11, 12-month-old babies that are using iPads.
Oh, I believe it. I've seen some of the apps in the store.
Yeah, it's really incredible. They actually learn to use that before they can speak in some cases.
Wow.
It's and you're going to be just on the cusp of all that. So listen, habits, routines, and rituals. We spoke briefly on the break, and you had a good perspective on it that I did not touch on in the article. So please share it with the listeners.
Well, as you know, I think in metaphors, and I think about times in my life where I have driven For example, I remember driving long distances across the high desert as a kid, and it seemed like there was nothing. There was no signposts. There was no markers along the way. There was nothing spectacular to stop and look at. And for about 7 hours, it's just a blur. You look back, and there's nothing memorable about it. And I think sometimes in life, it can feel like that if we don't have the signposts and the moments to stop that are what you write about, those habits, those rituals, those routines. And so compare that to, let's say, a trip up the California coast. You can stop at the Santa Monica Pier, and then all of a sudden you're up in Santa Barbara, and then you're getting up towards San Luis Obispo and Monterey and San Francisco, and there's all these moments that you can look back and say, wow, what a deep, rich trip. And I think that in the same way, when we look through life, that if we have those moments of routines or rituals that have meaning and significance, they're like those signposts. They're like those vistas that we can think back and remember, and they give more meaning and richness to our life.
Wouldn't you also say that isn't religion all about ritual?
Yeah, I think because it's not that it's the emptiness of the ritual. It's not about the ritual in itself, but the ritual, I believe, slows us down long enough to be reminded of what the ritual points to. And usually it's what God has done, how he's been faithful, who he's called us to be. And so, unfortunately, very often we can just get stuck in the rut of rituals because we can't look past the ritual to what the ritual is pointing to. But definitely, my Jewish friends remind me of how much I'm lacking in ritual.
How so? I'm curious why a Jewish friend would point that out. I mean, I know for me, the rituals in Jewish services at sometimes feel very repetitive, but the repetition also makes them feel more, I don't know, deep or part of my life.
Yeah, I think that my Jewish friends, you included, remind me that that we're caught up in something that's so much bigger than 2012. There are these traditions, Shabbat, dinner, and the variety of things that you do as a family, and even the prayers that extend thousands and thousands and thousands of years back.
The Passover Seder being one of the ones that is so much a part of our heritage. And I know, in fact, that you participated this past year.
Yeah.
In that, in fact, you borrowed one of our Passover plates.
I did, and the reason why I wanted to do that is because I think one of the shortcomings of the modern American evangelical church is we have so kind of stripped ourselves away of traditions, because the generation above us felt like that they were dull, there was no life in them, and so now it's more about the creativity in the moment. It's about a really powerful message, feel good music, but we've lost, I believe, those rituals and those routines and those traditions that ground us as human beings.
Well, why don't we take this opportunity for you to reconsider how you might introduce them into your church?
Yeah, no, it's great. And that's one of the things that I really appreciated last year about walking people through what that Seder meal looked like. There's so many things. Even just the practice of Sabbath is something that I think we've forgotten.
It's one of my absolute favorite rituals. Before we run out of time, Pastor Drew, given that you're about to be a dad, have you given thought to some family rituals you want to see in your home?
You know, one of the things I'd like to borrow from my brother-in-law is that every meal that they have together, they have a basket in the front of their home where everybody drops off their cell phones before they come to the dinner table or the lunch counter or breakfast.
Good idea.
And
I love it.
And I love that ritual of just being present as you share a meal together.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So I would love to incorporate that, and you can hold me to it.
I will. When I'm over there for the baby naming or whatever, I will be happy to put my phone in the basket.
Fantastic.
Please tell our listeners where you can be found.
Well, I'm blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com.
And you will be blogging about the journey of parenthood, I hope?
Yes, and I'm actually thinking about changing back to to my drewsams.com for that, more personal. But I'll let you know when I start doing that.
Oh, please, please. And I'd be happy to be a guest blogger if you need any for that.
I will.
Talking about
that.
It.
Great.
Okay, well, thank you, Pastor Drew, and look forward to talking with you next week.
You as well.
We will be back with our old friend Jim Scheinberg for Family Financial Matters after these short messages.
Thank you. I have got you deep in the heart of me.